Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given either by the announcer or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. This being Wednesday, we'd like to remind you again of the services at the East Albertville Church of Christ. At 7 o'clock this evening, we will meet for Bible study. We have classes for all ages, so certainly you, your children, are more than welcome to come and to be able to have this opportunity to study God's Word. Then at approximately 5 minutes to late, then we'll assemble together for a brief period of worship. So keep these services in mind this evening at 7 o'clock and know that you're cordially invited to come and to be with us. How do you see the light? You know, in the scientific realm, light is one thing that's absolutely essential to our seeing, for that's how our eyes are able to see. And as strange as it may sound, we do not actually see objects, but rather we see the light that reflects off of those objects, that helps to define for us the size and the color. You know, lights of different colors will show an object to be different colors, though it may actually be a white light. And yet, at the same time, in complete darkness, there is no light to shine on the objects, and thus, since there is no reflected light to register with our eyes, as a result, we have no way to see that object. Though we are unable to see objects in darkness, that doesn't mean that those objects don't exist. However, we know that just one walk through the living room at night and your toes will certainly discover that these objects exist, even though we may not see them. We also see in the scientific realm that there may be varying reactions to light. You know, shine a light directly into somebody's eyes and they're going to automatically have a quick reaction to that. And in a dimly lit room, light is something that is welcome. Maybe you have had the unfortunate opportunity to walk into a dark room and turn on the light only to see cockroaches scurrying to get out of the way. Well, they despise light. They thrive in darkness. On the other hand, if a person is lost in darkness, they're going to gladly welcome a shining light as a hope for the rescue and that they're going to be quickly moving toward that light. So to them, it's comfort and hope. When we look at this in the spiritual realm, light is often compared with the way of righteousness. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. The light is oftentimes referred to as the Word of God, like in Psalms 119, verses 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we know that even Jesus made the statement in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. On the other hand, darkness is often equated with the way of wickedness. For instance, over in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 4, here's what we read in verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Sometimes darkness is referred to as the ignorance of truth. Take, for instance, in Ecclesiastes 2, here's what we read in verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceive also that one event happeneth to them all. Also, we see that sometimes darkness is referred to as the place of torment, the place of punishment. Jesus uses it this way in Matthew chapter 25. Notice with me as we read verse 30. He said, they'll cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see then, as ones that are outside of Christ, we are or were all within the power of darkness, as described in Colossians 1, verse 13. But in Christ, we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And if we back up to verse 12 of Colossians 1, it says that we share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So clearly, the person that is outside of Christ is in darkness, while the one that's in Christ is in the light. Well, that said, how do we see the light? How do we react when others speak to us of the way of righteousness? They speak to us the word of God. Do we see the light as something that we do not know? Remember Job, in all of his confusion concerning the things that had happened to him, he said in Job chapter 24 and verse 16, "In the dark they dig through houses, which they have marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light." See, Job speaks of evil men, and these evil men are doing their evil deeds so often in darkness that it could be said that they do not know the light. That is not to say that they don't know that it exists, because what he says, they shut themselves up in the daytime, but they have refuge to have anything, you know, they just have simply nothing to do with the light. And, you know, sadly, there are many people that react to the light of God's word, the way of righteousness, in this very same way. They do not want to know the word of God. They do not want to walk in the way of righteousness. They do not want to hear what Jesus has to say to them, so they shut themselves up from ever listening to it, and they shut off all attempts to teach them the word by which they could be saved from their sins. You know, Cornelius recognized the necessity of God's word to save him from his sins, because in Peter's reaccounting of his going to the household of Cornelius, we read in Acts 11 and verse 14 that Cornelius was told to send to Joppa for Peter that shall tell you words whereby you and your household can be saved. So God's word is truly that light to provide salvation. But what we see is that in so many cases, people today are just exactly like they were in Isaiah's time. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said of the children of Israel, beginning with verse 9, he said, "Go and tell his people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the hearts of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert, and be healed." So we see then that truly this described people of Isaiah's day, and so sad to say it described people in Jesus' day, because Jesus made this quote from Isaiah in the things that he stated in Matthew chapter 15. But we see then that in all of this, let us not think that this problem is only of unbelievers. Sometimes believers study just enough of God's word that they begin to think that they have all of the answers, and then they close their eyes to just any further learning. And in this state, they cannot see that others might be rightly dividing the word, while their own understanding could be in error. Some close their eyes to the truth because they've been swayed by fleshly pursuits. And knowing that they will be condemned by the scriptures, they close their eyes to any further study or any consideration of God's word. And they go about to justify themselves by human wisdom instead. Could this be you? Or maybe you see the light as something to rebel against. You know, going back to Job that we read it a moment ago. It's in Job chapter 24. And here's what we read in verse 13. And they of those that rebel against the light, they know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. You know, while this first group choose to willingly refrain from knowing the light, what we read in here is that these are those who willingly rebel against the light and who do not stay in its path. You know, this is eerily similar to the charge that God made against his own people when, after he pleaded with them to return to the ancient path wherein the good way is. And we read about that in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Remember what they said? We will not walk in it. So you see, they willingly rebelled against the will of God, and they pursued the ways of the world, though God had promised them great blessings if they would repent and turn back to them. So a rebellious attitude is certainly, I believe, a very popular today in our society. It has no place in spiritual matters. Remember Samuel, when he warned Saul, he made the statement that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23. Something that I can assure you is not a positive attribute. And yet, note the number of times that God calls his people a rebellious house, as he directs Ezekiel the prophet to speak to them. For instance, in Ezekiel 2, verses 5 through 8, that we don't have time to read. And we see that it was a common problem with the Israelites, one which led them into captivity and to destruction. And many people today live in open rebellion to God's word, including many, like the Israelites, who claim to be Christians. Whenever we read God's word and we try to find a way around it, or we make excuses for our disobedience, or we just simply reject it, we're living in rebellion against the light. So could this be you? Or maybe you see the light as something to hate. In John 3 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Friend, that very much so describes the attitude of those whose minds are set on the flesh, for the fleshly mind is by nature, Romans 8 and verse 7, enmity against God, for it does not submit to God. Friends, let us in all of this realize and understand what our reaction is to the light of God's word, and give ourselves an honest answer to it. We see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.